Will you turn with me to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1. With the Lord's help this afternoon, I'll speak to you from verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, and verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. We read three readings this afternoon, and there was a common theme that ran through the three readings, and it was this: the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the two blind men by the wayside begging. And though the opposition of those around, all telling them not to cry out, to be quiet, yet pressed with their need, their faith laying hold on the Lord Jesus as a way of healing, knowing, hearing of what he's done for others. Oh, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Having mercy on others, why not for me? And Jesus stood still. You know, there's compassion with him. Oh, how sympathizing his heart. How willing to lay a hand. How willing to speak the word. How willing to meet the case of the poor, destitute, bankrupt, broken, cast down soul. The blind, those two. And then this leper. And then what of the centurion's servant, feeling his own unworthiness? He sent others on his behalf. We're told through his felt sense of his own unworthiness, he felt he couldn't come himself. But he knew where help was to be found. He knew where to turn. Oh, he knew who Jesus was. But under that sense of his own unworthiness. And then sending those to stop him. Even entering into his house. But he says, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. But you know, this compassion in that the Lord Jesus, he went with them. He went with them. You think a few poor sinners speaking to him, and he sets off on his journey with them. Compassion. Oh, compassion like no other. And then that woman, a widow. And you know, there's no welfare state in these Bible days. A widow meant a life of hardship, particularly now for her, having just lost her only son. And we're told the city were moved with her case. They felt sorry for her. How much more the Lord Jesus? We read, he was moved. He had compassion on her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Oh, this sympathizing heart, entering into the cases of his poor people, feeling their infirmities, feeling compassion toward them. We think of this occasion, and we think of Lazarus and his death. We read that Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus, knowing what was to be accomplished. Yeah, what an illustration we have in those two words. Jesus wept. He knew. He himself knew what he would do. He knew this was for the honour and glory of God. He had stayed away with the intent that this great miracle might be done. But why did he stay away? I firmly believe this. Having read those two words, Jesus wept, he stayed away, because if he had gone, he would have had to heal. Such is his sympathizing heart, he would not have been able to stand by and watch Lazarus die. He would have been touched with the sorrow of those he loved. Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And he stayed away so that Lazarus might die, so that Jesus might raise him from the dead, so that honour and glory may be to his name, his Father's name, to Almighty God. Now then, the sympathizing heart. Jesus wept. You know, friends, what a wonderful thing if in prayer we're brought to pour out our hearts unto him. You know, sometimes we think of prayer as of actually asking for specific things. But do you know what it is to pour out your heart? Maybe when there's this fear or trouble, or you're anxious about something, and rather than turning to a friend, you've turned yourself aside, and you've just told Jesus in prayer all about your little case. You've poured out your heart to him. Wonderful thing if you're brought there to pour out your heart unto him. The psalmist in Psalm 62 says, trust in him at all times. At all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. You know, in our day, there's much spoken of the mental health of people, and there's all sorts of help being offered in the way of counselling. Really, it's just going to somebody and telling, unburdening yourself, talking about things that are troubling you. Oh, what a wonderful thing if you're brought to turn to this wonderful counsellor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, if we're brought to see the Lord Jesus Christ as a friend of sinners, A friend who will hear. A friend who will listen. But you know those counsellors that man would go to in our day? Well, they will tell their case and they'll get a few sympathising words. They may even get a few tablets through a prescription. Oh, how much more. When a poor soul is brought to this great physician, who so willingly will listen, and yet can bring about, can alter, can change things, can alter circumstances, can guide, can give wisdom, can give grace. You know, a counsellor may offer you sympathising words, but he can't give you the grace to bear the trouble that you're in or affliction, but how much more the dear Lord Jesus can give grace to his people. Only he gives them, he succours them. He bears them up in his arms. But he gives them grace. He puts it in within them. A spirit of submission. Oh, that in viewing what he has done, in viewing what he has passed through for his people, oh, his people then are able, are willing to endure. For he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Then how much more are his people, when viewing him by faith, able to endure? Oh, their way, his way, was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer? If you have that in your mind, did Christ my Lord suffer? And shall I repine? Shall I murmur? Under these trying strokes of thine, shall I murmur under the hand, that hand that is one of love, under the rod that's dipped in love? When I see my sins, when I see my faults, should I murmur under the chastening of God? Oh, what a loving friend, able to pour in more grace as more grace is needed, able to give faith, to increase faith, to pour in love, the love of Christ, yet for love's sake, his people continue to the end. But we have our text this afternoon, Jesus moved with compassion. But who was this? A leper? A leper? What a dreadful disease leprosy was. Well, it still is present in our day, apparently. But in Bible times, what a disease it was. It was incurable. It was a most dreadful disease. And how we read of those cases in God's Word surrounding leprosy. And the wonderful cures that were brought about through the power of God. But frenzy. That this disease, this dreadful disease, leprosy. Oh, it was life-changing. An outcast, banished from public life, separated from amongst the people. You know, this disease, doesn't it so sum up what sin is? You know, the sin is like leprosy, isn't it? It's a most dreadful thing. And what a sin, what havoc, what damage, what distress, what trouble has sin brought upon mankind. O thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. Oh, the hideous nature of sin. And so leprosy, so doesn't it, so sum up in a way what sin is. Well, this was a most dreadful disease. And those that had it were outcast. And the people wouldn't approach them, wouldn't go near them, lest they should become contagious, lest they should catch the disease themselves. So it brought separation. But what it did, it also brought death. Little by little, as the leprosy spread through the body, deadness to the various members of the body, and all pointing to death. And what does sin do? Little by little, it spreads through our body, through our lives. One sin leading to another, spreading through our lives, ruining our lives, ruining us. All pointing to one thing, death. Eternal misery. The banishment from God forever. To be outcast through sin. And banished for an eternity in hell. Oh, the wages of sin is death. The result of it then is death. And the result of this disease, leprosy, except it be cured, is certain death. But it's slow, it's painful, it's disgusting. Oh, what a thing sin is, isn't it? How abhorrent sin is in the sight of God. No, how can we best view sin? Well, isn't it through the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? What do I mean? Such is the abhorrence of sin in God's sight. That, oh, his people, though under its curse by nature and under its condemnation by nature, God sending forth his own Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Oh, if you want a picture of sin and how abhorrent it is in God's sight, then venture to Gethsemane. And there, view in that garden the sin of the Church of God laid upon the eternal Son of God. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. But this is the beloved Son of the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Yet, in that garden, the Father turned his face from him. The Lord Jesus Christ, the man, experienced the effect of sin, separation. With the sin of the Church of God upon him, not his own, the sin of his beloved bride. There, as a great sin bearer for the Church of God, he experienced the horrors of hell, the wrath of Almighty God poured out upon him, the Father venting his anger at sin, the sin of his church, on his son. Oh then, how can we not, those of us who feel a sense of pardon sin, a sense of casting our sin upon him, having been brought to make his soul an offering for our sin, in that prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner, oh, how can we not tremble when we consider, oh, that great escape. Oh, that we should be passed by. The Father turning and venting upon his Son all the wrath and anger of an almighty God through the sin committed by his people. Oh then, this sin, like leprosy. Well, here there was a man, a real leper, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Oh, if your faith and mine could just lay hold of that. You poor, seeking, trembling souls this afternoon. Oh, to lay hold. There is help laid upon one that is mighty. Oh, there's a hindrance that Satan will put up. He's unable to meet your case. No, he's not. Oh, if thou wilt. Like that woman who, having spent all she had on many physicians, with the issue of blood, the woman with the issue of blood, she spent all she had and didn't get better, but grew worse. She came in the press, in that crowd, with that resolve, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. There's help. Others have proved him sufficient. Others have ventured. Others have found mercy. Others have received pardon. And if I may but touch his clothes, the only doubt in her mind, not in what he would do, if she touched, but in her weakness, if I may touch his clothes. Well, there was an unseen hand, and there was a silent voice that said, You may touch my clothes. And there was that unseen hand that reached out and drew her through that crowd and brought her to touch the hem of his garment. Immediately she was made whole. Well then, let's not be found doubting his ability. Oh, but like this leper, if thou wilt, Lord, if I might find favour. That's it this afternoon, is it? You see he's able. Oh, you're convinced that he's able. You've seen his work in others. Those that you know and love. Those in the church of God here. You've heard from their lips how he met their need. So you're persuaded of that. Oh, but what about me, Lord? Well, could it please thee to bless even me? If thou wilt, let me approach, Lord. Or if thou wilt, hear me. Oh, will he have compassion on me? Oh, will I find favour in his sight? I thought of Esther and her approaching the king. She couldn't the law said she couldn't venture uninvited. She risked certain death. Except one thing. It all lay in the king's eye. If she found favour in his sight, he'd accept her. But he had every right to put her to death. How can I come? But she must come. She can't stay away. She's an urgent, she's a pressing case. So her resolve, brought there, forced there. Oh, she must venture. Did the invite come before? No. But they're all praying. Her and her maids. And the Church of God. The Jews were praying. But did the invite come? No. There was a venture. You know, there's a venture of faith. God answers prayer. God rewards a step of faith. You know, we're not being legalistic this afternoon. Not do this and you'll receive that, but beloved friends, God honours a step of faith. Why? He's given faith in the first place, and when faith is acted on, God honours it. He honours them that honour me, I will honour. If I perish, I perish. I must go, and if I perish, I perish. But there's a secret in that book of Esther. She was to find favour in his sight. She went to her wardrobe. She chose a royal garment. She didn't choose one of her own making. She didn't go venturing on something she had done. She selected the robe he had given her. She put on her royal apparel and she ventured into the king's court. And there, dressed in his garment of his providing, she found favour in his sight. Oh, what a secret that is, isn't it? Venturing sinners, let us therefore come boldly. How? To the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But how can we venture boldly? In the name of Jesus. Oh, to come sheltering in him. Oh, to seek to find grace in the sight of God through his Son. In prayer, in our petitions, not asking for our sake, but for Jesus' sake, that it may indeed be he, instead of us, is seen. When we approach, we come dressed in that royal garment, the robe of righteousness, Christ's life and obedience as our hiding place, our shelter. Oh, what a worthy name to plead. What a mercy that Almighty God has given his beloved Son, that he may be pleaded at the throne of grace, his name, his merits, his faithfulness, his obedience, his righteousness, his perfections, his beauty. All of these things are seen when a poor trembling sinner pleads for Jesus' sake. Oh, they find acceptance. There is acceptance through the beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This leper came. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion. moved with compassion. Oh, he viewed him in all his needs, in all his dependence, and moved with compassion. Oh, we think of the dear Saviour now, sitting at the Father's right hand, a great, a glorious high priest, sitting at the Father's right hand, making intercession, obtaining mercy on behalf of his people. With one hand on his poor trembling people and another on his Father's throne, that dazed man, that go-between, that mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who takes their poor case and he makes it his own. When you plead for Jesus' sake, when you lay your requests at his feet, in your poor prayers, he takes those prayers, having heard them, having prompted with the Spirit of Holy Spirit prompting it within, he takes those prayers and he presents them to his Father. He makes them his own. He makes request on our behalf and he obtains mercy for who he is, his relationship with his Father. Oh, who he is, Almighty God himself. There, request is made and mercy is granted. And Jesus, moved with compassion. Oh, how even now his heart is moved. Though he sits in heaven above, he can be touched with a feeling of our infirmities. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly in that knowledge that he's there sitting at the Father's right hand, still retaining that sympathizing heart. He knows what it is to be, he knew what it was. Christ the man, to be weary. He knew what it was to live a life of sorrow, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knew what it was to have men reject him, his friends disown him. He knew what it was to be betrayed by one of his own disciples. Oh, he, how able he is to sympathize. How sympathizing. Oh, this heart then can still be touched. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. The unthinkable, touching a leper. No one in a right mind would touch a leper. Oh, the compassion. Oh, the power of God. Oh, the love of God. Think of the Lord Jesus, not ashamed to call them brethren, his poor, sinful people. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. He sat and ate with sinners. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And this man, oh, this glorious man in heaven above, this afternoon still receiveth sinners just as they are, in all their filth, in all their leprous condition. He still receives sinners, oh, that come to him. Just as he are, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. No wise, no way. however vile and sinful. Oh, the mercy of God. And he touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. There's a beautiful hymn, last verse of 306, leprous soul, press through the crowd, in thy foul condition, struggle hard, and call aloud on the great physician. Wait till thy disease he cleanse, begging, trusting, cleaving, when and where and by what means, to his wisdom leaving. Oh, that we may be encouraged. Oh, that we may know the drawing power of Almighty God. Oh, the resistless grace of God, which draws poor, sin-bitten sinners to look away from themselves, to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. If I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men to me. The serpent-bitten Israelites in the wilderness. The act of looking away from themselves, the act of looking toward that brazen serpent, a great camp, many millions of children of Israel, and a great camp, and that one serpent, brazen serpent, lifted up on a pole. Not everyone would have a clear view, but as many as looked, lived. Oh, you want a clear view this afternoon? I don't blame you. Don't we all? Oh, but it's not the clearness of the view. It's the act of faith, of looking to him in need as a sinner. My only hope is in thy blood. Remember me, O Lord, for good. Oh, if he gives you a clear view, thank him for it. Praise him for it. Oh, but it may be just a glimmery view, a glinting in the distance. But look to him. Pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind as strong, mercy joined with power. I will, be thou clean. Oh, how many have proved him faithful to his word. I will, be thou clean. I will regard, that he will regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. Oh, but it's to come just as you are, a beggar, a bankrupt, a leper, in all your filthiness, nothing hiding in your tent, but like Achan, you lay it all at the feet, not of Joshua, with his law, where there's no mercy to be found, but you lay it at the feet of Jesus, laying it at the feet of Jesus, who says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Amen.